Cumulus Broadcasting is proud to present the only show of its kind in the Fox Valley, designed to inform you on how to go green, live green, and save green. Welcome to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight, brought to you by Evergreen Credit Union, naturally a better financial. Here's your host, Bill Schultz.
Well, hello there. Good morning. Welcome to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight. We have a lot of things that we want to let you know about as we get closer to the Home and Outdoor Living Show. And I keep on saying this every week, that things are changing all the time. And we, as we speak, things are changing right now. So I can't even tell you all the things that are going on. But I can tell you, if you've friended us on Facebook, you know that we are giving away, or a chance to give away, $25,000 in cash at the Home and Outdoor Living Show with Answers to Energy in January, from the 19th to the 21st at the Sunnyview Expo Center in Oshkosh. We also have already announced that we are going to give away a chance to win $7,500 worth of Leaf Guards from our friend at Leaf Guard. And also, we have just found out, we are going to give away a chance to win a $10,000 bathroom makeover from our friends at Tundraland. So Tundraland is also doing this. There's a lot of things that you can win at the Home and Outdoor Living Show with Answers to Energy. So we need to let you know about that. And we'll fill you in as we get closer. But we wanted to bring in our title sponsor for the show, good friends of ours, Warner Electric Supply, and Richard Hennis here with us. He's been on the show before. He's our senior clean energy product specialist with Warner Electric Supply. Hello, sir. How are you?
Well, very good, Bill. Thank you.
Get all that house cleaning out of the way. We're doing a lot of things.
We are.
A lot of things at the show. We're trying to get a solar house from you. You guys, now explain that story. You built or assisted in building a miniature solar house, but it's now in Illinois?
That's correct.
So how's that work? What happened there?
So we do business in most of the Midwest states, and our friends from Illinois, from the Illinois Solar Energy Association, were trying to coordinate a small house that they can move from location to location and set up so that they can do shows and explain to people what solar is, how it works. And we were asked to provide a design and materials for that, which we did.
Okay.
And then they assembled it, and they use it and take it from place to place and explain solar. It's an educational tool.
And it works. It runs.
It is a functioning solar system, yes. It's okay. A miniature solar system, if you will, but it is a functioning solar system, and okay. It was designed by our inside sales guy, John Harp.
Okay, and we're trying to get that to the show, but there's some logistic things. We're not going to guarantee it's going to be there, but we're trying to get it there because it has to come up from Illinois. And we realize there's sometimes things that happen that way beyond my comprehension. But Richard, I always like having you on the show because you always, one, bring about what's going on in the solar world. But I want to bring this up first because one of the first things you said to me before we went on the air, it's always has to do with renewable energy, with you in particular, and there's a lot of things that Winter Electric Supply does. I mean, you do so many things. Your facility is just huge in Appleton, but you do so many things to help other businesses. But the renewable energy field is something that is an entire department there at Winter Electric Supply, correct?
That's correct, Bill.
And you go out, just so people can understand this, you are the facilitator, the distributor, if you will, for a lot of renewable energy items that you then send to people who actually install them. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. You came to me and said, oh, one thing we should talk about is this thing called ChargePoint. Explain what ChargePoint is.
So ChargePoint is an electrical vehicle charging station. So as time goes along, we're seeing more and more electric vehicles, or EVs as we call them, and more people are becoming aware of the benefits of having electric vehicles, but this is a device that they connect to their vehicle to charge the batteries.
And typically, I don't have an electric vehicle, but people who do, they know where they can get a charge. It's very easily accessible, but at the same time, if you don't have one, you seem like they're out of sight. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. So one of the nice things about these charge point stations is that they're mapped, and you can get an app to go on your phone, and it'll not only tell you the location of the stations, it also tells you whether they're occupied or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, how long does it take for a station for it to charge a vehicle?
Depends how much of a charge they're looking for.
Okay.
If they're looking for a quick charge, 30 minutes usually they can get enough charge to, you know, if they come to go their shopping or whatever, it'll give them a little boost charge, and that'll give them enough to get back home again if they're near empty. Depends on the level of the charging stations. They come in level 1, 2, and 3, and the charge rates are different based on the levels. But typical home systems are level 1 or level 2, and most business systems are level 1 or level 2.
Now, for some charge stations, and I asked this question, and I might have told this to you before, we went out to the Black Hills. We stayed at a hotel that had a Tesla charging station. Is that station only for Tesla vehicles?
If it's a Tesla Level 3, it's specific to the Teslas. It's a different plug, so it doesn't fit most of the vehicles. There's a standard plug that's regulated by the automotive industry.
Okay.
And that was part of the time that it took to get electric vehicle charging stations developed and into the marketplace here, was we had to get a consensus between the charging manufacturers and the automotive industry to get things standardized. But now they're standardized. So a level 1 or level 2 charging station has a standardized plug.
And that would be charge point?
And that would be the charge point.
Okay.
The level 3s typically have a different connector, and that's specific.
So it would be specific to Tesla in this case.
Yes.
That I saw. Okay. Now, you had also mentioned that this is something that if you own an electric vehicle, you could actually have this for yourself. It can go into businesses, but you can put it into someone's yard.
Correct. So you could put one in your garage at home and charge your vehicle at home. Right. They also make multiple level units. So if you had two electric vehicles, you can get a unit that'll charge two electric vehicles. It's also, you know, a good unit to use if you're in a rental property where you have multiple units.
Mm-hmm.
And they make these with and without card access. So if you're in a location where you want to charge the customer for the electricity, you can make it card access. They can take their credit card or a pass card that you provide them, and it'll activate the unit, and it'll bill them based on the time that they're charging.
Wow. So if someone wants one of these, what do they need to do?
So the easiest thing that I would say right now is my inside sales guy, John Harp, is our point man on our electric vehicle charging stations. And he can find out from, you know, the potential customer where they live, and then he can recommend an installer in that area and connect them to the information that they need to learn more about these systems.
Now, if you own a hotel, a convenience store, maybe a restaurant, someplace where someone would stay for a little bit that they would want to charge, can you find out what other charging stations are around you to see if you would be a point of destination worthwhile?
Oh, absolutely. With this network, you can tell where every one of the charging stations are.
Okay.
And in the charge point network, you can find out whether they're occupied at the time that you're looking at it or not.
So if you're in a hotel, let's say, right off the highway, and there might be a charging station 20 miles away from you, this would be a good idea to have.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's also a great marketing tool, Bill, because, you know, if you're that hotel owner, and let's say there's three hotels, and we won't use name brands, we'll call them ABC, and all of equal value, all equal star ratings, but you're trying to attract a certain customer base, having an electric vehicle charging station might be a way to draw that base to your facilities and differentiate yourself from your competition.
Definitely.
Another thing that's nice about it is typically the electric vehicle charging stations are very close to the building to keep the electrical run shorter, so you have preferred parking that's reserved for you.
I noticed that. Yes, indeed. Yeah, there's nobody in that space.
Right. Nice way to have a reserved parking space in a lot of locations where, you know, otherwise finding parking might be a challenge.
And this is just one of the many things that Werner Electric Supply can help you with. So charge point, if you're interested, go to Werner Electric Supply. And your website is expansive. And what I notice is that the best way to go is the WernerCleanEnergy.com. Is that kind of a subpage for the big page?
So we have a subpage. So our clean energy division page is, you know, a subpage of the big master Werner Electric. You know, just to make it a little easier to find what we're looking for. That'll get you on our clean energy page. You know, there you can find information about different products that we sell. You can find information about incentives on that page, information about upcoming trainings, there's some information about us. I think some of our podcasts are also linked onto that page. Pictures of installs.
You know, it's interesting, as I've worked with Werner Electric Supply over the years, you have touched so many businesses. And a lot of people don't know that because you're kind of the behind-the-scenes people. The frontline people are the ones who get the product line from you. And they do business with you, but a Joe consumer is doing business with Solar Company X. And you work with Solar Company X.
Correct.
So that's how that works. Speaking of incentives, speaking of solar, we're going to take a break here. We're going to talk about another renewable energy source that is near and dear to Richard's heart, which is solar. And we're going to talk about that, what's available here as we get into 2018 as far as incentives go, and some of the other news that you might want to know regarding solar. We'll be back after this.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells.
Welcome back. Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight, the home and outdoor living show with Answers to Energy being brought to us by good friends at Werner Electric Supply, who are our guests today. We are being joined by Richard Hennis, who is the Senior Clean Energy Product Specialist with Werner Electric Supply. And one of the products we talked about during before we went to the break is solar. And solar is near and dear to your heart. And Richard, I got to tell you, this year, I have heard, read, seen so much about solar that it seems like it is just starting to explode. You're in the middle of this circle. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, Bill.
It just seems like everybody is asking about it.
Yep. It has become a mainstream item now. You know, every place we go, we see solar panels.
Yep.
We realize, you know, what we're able to do with them. Even driving through the construction sites on the highway, your signs now have solar panels.
Yep.
You know, we're not sitting there running generators and, you know, polluting our atmosphere any more than we need to. We're realizing and adapting to using solar every place that we can.
As people start to get into solar, when you start to investigate it, there's tax credits that are involved. So why don't we cover a little bit about that?
Okay. So for any tax-paying entity, so be it either personal or a for-profit business, you get a federal tax credit on your solar system. So currently, that tax credit is equal to 30% of the installed cost.
Mm.
So, you know, if you put a solar system on your house, Bill, you know, I know you're a for-profit entity. Whether or not you make profit, that's sometimes
exactly.
left to be seen. But,
exactly.
You know, you do pay a federal tax. So because you have a tax liability, you also can claim a 30% tax credit on the installed cost of your solar. So it's not just the equipment. It's all the labor and everything that goes into that system.
Hmm.
So if you're a business that's a for-profit business, you also can claim that same thing.
Okay.
So, you know, that reduces the cost of your solar system by nearly a third immediately just by taking that federal tax credit.
Huge. Wow.
So then here in Wisconsin, all of the power-producing components of your system are also sales tax exempted.
Hmm.
So the grid-tied systems where you don't have any batteries, your modules, your racking, your wiring up to your inverter, and your inverter are all considered power-producing. So the majority of your system is also exempt from the 5% state sales tax.
Okay.
So another tax advantage.
And you go through a lot of, I'll talk about the politics of solar, because when, you know, we have, for instance, Elon Electric who comes in here, and Jesse comes in here and talks to us a little bit about buying American. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, when you think of solar, you think about modules that are made in China and things along those lines. But is there, with President Trump and all the things that are going on with that, is there a campaign to try to get this? Because it was really lopsided for a while, where China was so much cheaper to buy. What's happening now in regard to that?
Okay. So currently, Bill, there is some actions that have been voted on by our legislators and are going to the president for his approval or disapproval early in January that are trying to impose a tariff on both the cells and the modules that are coming into this country from outside of this country.
Okay.
So the action was initiated to try to protect U.S. manufacturers and help keep them in business and to present a more level playing field in the market. So a lot of Chinese companies in particular, there are by far the largest number of solar manufacturers are in China.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of their companies have been selling product in this country and selling it at lower than their cost to manufacture it, and creating some problems in the industry as far as the U.S. manufacturers trying to be able to compete and stay in business.
Right.
So that's what this action is it's a tariff action. There are proposals out there, and we're waiting to see. The president will have the final say in what will happen, but hopefully what will happen is that the industry will more level itself. You know, the module pricing will be a little more level, and that great disparity won't be driving the American manufacturers out of business.
Right.
You know, we all want to try to compete in a fair marketplace, and I think that's what the outcome of this action will
that's
be.
That's the idea. Okay. Okay. Good. Good. With the growth that we were talking about with solar, how is that impacting the employment market, the job market?
So in 2016, the solar industry was the fastest growing industry in our country. One out of every eight jobs created in 2016 is in the solar industry.
Really?
This is the fastest growing industry that we've ever seen since we've been keeping records in this country.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you say that, do you mean like module manufacturing to installers to just people who are somewhat connected that can be linked with the solar industry?
Correct. So you have obviously the manufacturers and the installers are the first two that come to mind.
Right.
But behind those installers, you have people like myself. I'm a system designer and an outside salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm talking to my installers and recommending, you know, specific products, and trying to keep up on the front side of the changes because this industry changes so quickly. But you also have people that have to, number one, provide the products that these things are made out of and get those to the right place. You have people that have to move the finished products. You have people that have to warehouse. You have people that have to do, you know, design work, selling the product. You know, there's a large movement right now to increase the amount of education. And, you know, I'm on the advisory council at NWTC up in Green Bay, and we're actually in a process now of setting up a school to train the installers, the instructors of the installers, because we need to get more instructors.
Wow.
So it's just exploding everywhere.
Are we at the point where it's moving too fast for us that we cannot supply it, and then does that lead to danger?
I would say that the progressive thinking of those in the industry are trying to make sure that we're not at that point where we're growing too fast. We're very conscientious in this industry about controlling what we're doing and making sure that it's good. I mean, you know, you and I are old enough guys that we can remember back in the 70s and the 80s when solar showed up on its initial voyage, if you will, or its initial high exposure to the public. And at that point, module prices were $10 a watt, where they're less than a dollar a watt now. But because of incentives, there were a lot of poor performers in the market that gave the industry a bad name.
As with a lot of things that have happened in the renewable energy field.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But I think the improvements in information movement and more transparency in our industry, as well as many industries, are helping all of us police the bad players up and, you know, either make them change their ways or, you know, making sure that they don't stay in the industry very long.
How is Wisconsin as a player compared to other parts of the country?
Wisconsin is one of the least favorable states now for solar, even though 6 or 7 years ago we were one of the most favored.
Why?
Mostly because of policy. Part of it is the rate structure by the utilities and decisions made by the Public Service Commission that affect that. It's kind of a growth problem, and we're in a transition with the utilities as they're trying to figure out how to change their 100-year-old billing structure to make their billing structure equitable and to incorporate things like solar, wind, these other renewable resources that, to a great degree, if they're not directly involved in them, then this is competition to them. So they're trying to figure out how do we incorporate what we do into that. And it's a learning process for all of us. We're all trying to figure out how do we work together? How do we make the best outcome for everybody? And, you know, obviously we can't do without our utilities, and nor should we. You know, but we can play a part in how we become more efficient and how they're becoming more efficient. And that's our day-to-day struggle is.
I was just going to ask you that. Richard Hennis here with a senior clean energy product specialist. Do you, Richard, actually deal with a lot of the things that, I guess, for a lack of a better word, what we'll call is political in this world? Because for Werner Electric Supply to be profitable, you need to have this industry moving in the right direction. Do you guys make sure that it's moving in the right direction by sitting in on councils, meeting, maybe devising policies and plans and things along those lines?
So, yeah, we do, Bill. Myself personally, I sit on two advisory councils at technical colleges here in the state. Matt Giannavelli also sits on advisory councils for one or more technical colleges in the state. So we try to assist these technical colleges with their programs and make sure that what we see in the industry is what the students coming out of these programs are prepared to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that also gives us a good place to find resources for our installers that are looking for potential new employees, and we are involved in the schools. I'm a student at NWTC as well. So, you know, I have a pretty good idea who's there, and I have a good relationship with the instructors and faculty, and they're you know, quite good about recommending people that they think may be able to fill needs that I have for installers that are looking for help. We also are members of Renew Wisconsin, and as you know, they're sort of our lobbyist arm.
Right.
And they sit in on a lot more of the policy meetings and the political stuff than we do. We do get involved to some degree, but, you know, they're...
They got the jargon down.
They're yeah, they have the professional
they know
expertise.
How to talk to talk.
Exactly, yep. Yeah. They understand our communications, but they understand how to communicate it back to our legislators. And so, you know, we're members of a number of organizations like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by those affiliations, we're able to voice our concerns and make sure that we have somebody representing our interest in the industry and to our lawmakers.
Werner Electric Supply, they are our title sponsor in the Home and Outdoor Living Show with Answers to Energy. We thank them very much for that. And when you go to the show, there'll be very little you will see about Werner Electric Supply. So you may wonder, like, well, they're a title sponsor. Where's their booth? And actually, when you walk around the facility, if you're going to see any kind of solar displays, chances are Werner Electric Supply is associated with them. So, again, it's a behind the scenes. That's why you wanted to be part of this, because you know how important it is to get that word about Answers to Energy and making sure that you be there front and center to the regular public is not as important to making sure your companies that you work with are there, right?
That's correct, Bill.
So let everybody know about that. Richard Hennis, always good seeing you, Richard. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure, Bill.
Thank you for listening to Answers to Energy Question Spotlight, brought to you by Evergreen Credit Union. Naturally, a better financial. Listen next week when we spotlight another business and show you ways to go green, live green, and save green. If you would like to be a guest on Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight, please contact Bill Schultz at 920-230-0801.